Hi, I'm Megan Kelly, Associate Editor for SearchCRM.com. In this podcast, I talk to Lori Bachland about some of the best and worst practices for using speech analytics in the call center. Enjoy.
Do you have any tips or best practices for the requirements gathering process? Like who should be involved in determining requirements and evaluating the technology?
Let's build on that cross-functional team theme. Because I think an absolute best practice for defining these requirements is to get that cross-functional group involved, and that includes IT, because even if the business is driving this, unless you're doing a pure service play, you're going to need IT's involvement because you're dealing with hardware and software that needs to be supported and everything and integrated with your environment. But I think some of the ways to look at the requirements, get that cross-functional team working together. You can use structured outlines based on discovery work with the vendors. You know, you can do that directly with some of your vendor partners or through webinars. There's a lot of different ways, certainly, websites and all the information they have, because the vendors are marketing this stuff pretty heavily. So after a good discovery process to understand what's possible, then you can use some of those lists as triggers for discussion. And also look at, again, what are the real business goals? What are the pain points? What do we have trouble doing today? Whether we can't do it at all or it requires a lot of manual effort either on the agent's part or reporting and analytics people's part, what are kind of the wish lists? And it's good to go through in a requirements effort, kind of a big picture thinking or blue sky, whatever you want to call it, to say, you know, what really would we do if we could? And use that to drive out not just functional requirements, but also to get into the implementation and support and obviously the technology requirements. So we like a structured approach to that, one that gets the people talking together about how they're going to use the application, the functionality, and let that drive out what you need it to do. We often tell people, whether it's requirements and you know evaluations for speech analytics or whatever contact center technology, you can't just focus on the feature functions because you're going to have less differentiators there from vendor to vendor. You need to look at how it fits with other things, the implementation and support and relationships that you'll have with the vendor, and those sorts of things as well are very important, I think, in understanding what do you really want out of this solution and how does it fit with what you're trying to do as a business overall. We would really emphasize the integration part of this tool too, because this tool doesn't stand alone, even if it's a standalone product. It doesn't stand alone in terms of how you manage the overall performance of the contact center, certainly, and then again as you look across other departments.
So how difficult are these tools to use? What kind of in-house expertise do organizations need to have or bring in when launching a project, and how do they account for that in their calculations for the total cost of ownership?
Again, it can vary a lot, and I think this has evolved a bit in the marketplace. So, in the 5 or so years probably that we've been talking about speech analytics, we've kind of, again, gone through a hype cycle with it. And I think, you know, the early tools were more complex and more demanding, but at the same time, the vendors didn't want to pitch this as, oh, here's this great tool, but you need to hire 5 new analytics people to use it. And so there's kind of been this evolution of understanding to really get the value out of it, you need people that are analytical thinkers and will use that tool effectively. It's not just a reporting tool. It's not just something you turn on and it'll run on its own. So you need some people that can really build the business rules, look at what the system is telling you, but then also dive deeper. And I think that's one of the things, you know, when you get into how difficult is it to use. If you have the right skill set and everything, a good analytical person is going to be able to use that tool effectively and learn what works and what doesn't. But I think understanding that it always takes more time than we think, even though these tools are very powerful, very expensive, can be expensive, much like workforce management and some of these other performance tools, they require a thoughtful person to say, what am I learning from that, and therefore what do I need to dig deeper into or change or modify in how we move forward. So I think there's kind of been this evolution, and I think for most companies today, certainly what we see in our client base is they are running so lean in personnel today that it's hard to say we're going to go buy this pretty sophisticated tool that can do a lot of things we haven't done before, and we'll just add that to the workload of the people that are already qu- quite often very thinly stretched as it is. So I think that's a hard look that everybody has to take if they're going to look at speech analytics and say, can we truly add this on to existing positions, roles, or do we need to add new roles? And, you know, to your point about what that means in terms of total cost of ownership, it could be that you say, yes, I'm going to go buy this tool and it's going to cost me X thousand dollars or hundreds of thousands of dollars or whatever, depending on the size and what tool you're buying. But I need to commit the resources to do that too. And that's not just up front, that's an ongoing thing. So I think to get the maximum value out of it, you need to take a hard look at those resource demands. We mentioned up front the services approach, so you could be paying a vendor to do that for you. They're bringing not just the tools to analyze it, but the analytical resources to work with you. And obviously that puts a lot less demand on it internally, but you'll still need someone that understands your business to work with that supplier.
So what are some best practices when it comes to interpreting the analytics data and taking action on the insight you uncover?
Action is the operative word from a best practices perspective, I think. I think all too often in the contact center, we seek out these new tools and all we do is crank out more reports. And reports aren't necessarily terribly meaningful to people in terms of the action, the outcome, the what are we going to do about it. And so I think the key best practice is to have action triggers, both on an individual level and an organizational level, and make that a routine part of the process. So I don't just report on here's what the speech analytics is telling us, but I say here's what it's telling us, here's what that means to us, and here's what we're going to do about it. And so, for example, that could trigger on the one hand changes that you execute through support organizations, like training changes or changes to something on a desktop application, something through your IT systems people, or process changes. So we could learn things from analyzing what's said, either by the agents themselves or by the customers calling, that tells us we've got some fundamental improvement opportunity there. And back to the ROI, that's where you're going to drive big changes in handle time or in call outcomes. The other side of it is actions that trigger, you know, things that happen, again, within the call center or beyond it. So, for example, taking information and going back to marketing and saying, here's what we're learning and we think we need to change this message because it's confusing our customers. Or going back to product people and saying, you know, we keep getting these calls. Now we have some real fundamental information about what's wrong with this product or this service or the documentation that goes with it or whatever it might be. And there may be people that are skeptical about this functionality, this technology. And I was one of those early on. I was like, wow, the reps inherently know that stuff. But the big leap we take here is we have hard data then to back it up when we need to go argue for a change. And that can take you a lot farther, especially when you're collaborating with across departments to make changes that maybe the call center is uncovering through those customer interactions, but now somebody else has to take action on to make an impact. And that, I think, is the fundamental thing that is with those best practices of saying, what are we going to do both on our side in the contact center and in working with these other organizations?
And so just kind of to wrap up, can you give a couple of best practices and worst practices for using speech analytics in the call center?
Yeah, I obviously these things go hand in hand in terms of the point counterpoint, I guess. But my first hot button is recognizing it's not all about the technology. This is such a cool technology. Like I said, it gets people all excited and their eyes light up and they want it. But, man, you can't go into this thinking it's all about the technology. It's the typical triumvirate, people, process, technology, right? So we talked about having the analysts, the processes to do something with what you learn from the tool. So I think that's the key thing, and let's not just go buy another technology and think that that's going to solve problems and change our world. I think, you know, again, the cross-functional, the working together, is a very important best practice. If you don't drive that, I think you're gonna wish you had. And I'll give you an example. We had a client that they had the cross-functional team going into it, including commitment of analysts to move forward. When they got the tool, then there was less commitment in terms of the resources, but everybody wanted the outcome, right? And then they started seeing what they could do. And, well, we want you to look for this and run this analysis and do these queries. Well, we don't have enough people to do all that analysis. So I think that's it, is making the commitment and sticking to it is very important. And probably the last thing I'd highlight is to make sure you know what you're buying it for, because it is such a sexy technology. People can just get all excited and really not focus on, well, what are we going to get out of this tool? What are we going to do with it? What problems are we solving? Or what new things are we going to do? And I think having an eye on that strategic goal throughout the effort will help you to really drive something that's true business value after you buy the technology.
Thanks for listening. For SearchCRM.com, I'm Megan Kelly. We'll be right back.